Verse 20 says, an Abishai. How many of you ever heard of Abishai? I've heard about Abishai and read about him. The brother of Joab. How many of you ever heard about Joab? I've heard Joab's name. You read the Bible and read about David, you'll hear about Joab a lot. You'll hear some about Abishai throughout the Bible. The Bible says that Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was the chief of the three for lifting up his spear against 300. He slew them and had a name among the three. He had a name among the three, the Bible says. Verse 21, of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain, howbeit he attained not to the first three. And then 22 says, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of the valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And the Bible says, and he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These are some tough guys here. Amen. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. And he had the name among the three mighties. He had a name. And I've heard of Benaiah before. I've seen his name in other places. And I've read about him. And the Bible said he had a name. Verse 25 says, behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. And it says also the valiant men of the armies were Asahel, the brother of Joab. And it goes on and names a whole bunch of other names, but there's several names there that talk about having a name and being more honorable. You know, I've been around Christians a little while and been around churches for a little while, and one thing I've noticed is that after people have been in church for very long, and when they begin to serve the Lord, it becomes real important to people that they have a name. I mean, it's not just in church. People in the world want to have a name. People want to be honored, you know. They want to have their name in light. Y'all ever heard that phrase before? You know, in Hollywood, they have a walk of fame, isn't that what it is? And they write their name in the sidewalk and like a star, I guess, and maybe a fingerprint or something like that, and they've got their name there, and it's a big deal, I guess, to get your name in that thing. And you could go there probably. Tommy Rogers is written down up there in that thing. And his name is there. But that's a big deal to have your name there. I mean, that's for the world to be honored. I mean, that's an honor. It's a big thing. I've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the College Football Hall of Fame. And they say, how did you get there? Somebody made me go. I didn't want to go. I don't like that kind of stuff. But I went anyway. Amen. And I was there. And there's lots of names there. And you could look around. And there were certain football players that had excelled in college football, and they had made a name for themselves, and their name was there in the College Football Hall of Fame, and they would have their jersey and their number, and they'd tell a little bit about them and how they achieved the status to where their name ought to be recognized. They'll even, in sports, they'll retire a jersey because that jersey is only to be associated with the name of the person that wore that jersey. I imagine some of y'all can think of a name that wore a certain jersey. Anybody can think of a name?
32,
O.J. Simpson, what?
Jerry West, 44.
Jerry West, yeah, 44, you? What was his number, 23, that's what it was. Hey, everybody, when you see the number 23, I mean, everybody associates that with Michael Jordan. I mean, and what a name that is. I mean, everybody knows the name Michael Jordan. My little girl, Angelia, is, how old are you, Angelia? 4 years old? Well, this year we were watching a West Virginia football game, and again, I was just, my wife was watching, and I was just there, you know, and I was just trying to be with the family, and I was, you know, they were watching it, and West Virginia was playing Texas. You remember that big game, and they beat Texas, and then they lost about 400 games in a row after that, and we were watching that game, and I told Angelia, I said, all right, I said, you ready? I said, let's cheer for the Mountaineers. I said, let's go Mountaineers, you ready? And she said, let's go Michael Jordan. And I thought, my goodness, I mean, how in the world does she know Michael Jordan? I mean, what a shadow, what a name he had. I mean, the little girl, I mean, still that name, I mean, all these times. I mean, there are some famous names. Somebody think of a name, I mean, a famous name that comes to your mind. Anybody?
John Wayne.
What is it?
John Wayne.
John Wayne. There's a name known in Hollywood as a actor. Yes. Dale Earnhardt. Hey, everybody, you see number three, you think of Dale Earnhardt. Well, I'll leave that alone, but there's a lot of, I mean, it's a big deal. It seems like for people to know your name. I had a fellow say to me one time in Bible college, and he was a friend of mine. He looked at me, he said, if you want people here to know you, he said, you need to write them some letters. He said, write them some letters, and he said, that's how they get to know you. And way before he ever said that, I had already decided that I wasn't in the business of trying to get a name for myself by writing letters. When I was a little boy, my dad was a boilermaker. Now, it's a big deal, I guess, for folks to have a name. You read the Bible, there's some great names in the Bible. But I want to tell you tonight that Jashobeam is not one of them. Matter of fact, I've read the Bible several times on and off, and on occasion I've read it, and I had never even noticed Jashobeam before. I've heard about David's mighty men, and I've read those stories that I just read a moment ago, and all the things that they did, but I had never heard Jashobeam before. Never even thought about him. Never heard anybody mention him before. But you know what the Bible says about him in verse 11? This is the number of the mighty men whom David had. First name it mentions. Never noticed it. Never even thought about it. Jashobeam and Hachmonai, the chief of the captains. Do you realize tonight that the man that was the captain over the chiefs, which were the rulers of David, the heads, but this man was the captain of the chiefs. The man that was the most prominent person in David's mighty men, you never even heard his name. You didn't even know it. You never even thought about it until just now. The man that was chief of all David's mighty men, we just read about Jashobeam. And honestly, I had never heard his name mentioned before. Little, really nothing apart from that I know about is even spoken about him. His name is not well known. It's really not known at all. I want you to know something tonight and listen to me. I won't be long, but listen. Being known is overrated. The more effort we make to be known, the less worthwhile our life is going to be. You see, you can make an effort to be known by your peers and make an effort to be known by people. And just as quickly as you're known, you can make one mistake and your name is mud. I've known people that in the Christianity, I've known preachers that they built great churches and they made a name for themselves and everybody knew that name. And now that name is a sham, a joke. Now the Bible says a good name is to be desired, but in whose sight is it to be desired? The Bible talks about having your name memorized is highly overrated. You know, the fact that we reckon Michael Jordan with number 23, you know what that means? Doesn't mean anything. Just a name and just a number. In reality, in the passing of time, that'll mean absolutely nothing to your future or to mine. The idea that Dale Earnhardt was number 3 won't mean anything in time and eternity. It won't put food on your table tomorrow. It won't make a difference in your grandchildren's life. It won't make a difference in eternity. It won't make one bit of difference. But somehow or another, having your name, if your name is written down in Hollywood and the Walk of Fame, well, wonderful. If that's all you live for, is to have your name written down somewhere and somebody recognize your name and have name status and somebody say, hey, I know that name. If that's all your life is lived for, you're wasting your life. To be known of men is highly overrated. A good name is important, but in whose eyes? What matters when it comes to your name, all that matters, is what's the boss's opinion. What's the boss think about you? Say, preacher, who's the boss? I'd like to think that God, that we realize that God is in charge. Amen? And listen, hey, I could say, you know what? I want to have a good name in the eyes of the people of Providence Baptist Church. And I could say, you know, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that they think highly of me, and that they think that I'm somebody. And I want them to, when they hear my name, boy, I want them to know that's somebody. You know, I've seen people like that. But you know what? You could have a good opinion of me, and my name could mean something to you and not mean. It means something completely opposite to God. There's folks that have got a name among people, but if you ask God what their name was, God would say, their name? Oh, you asking me what their name is? Their name is fake, as far as I'm concerned. Their name is phony, as far as I'm concerned. And God says, you know, I'm not impressed with the fact that they get to church and they put a smile on their face and they try to impress everybody. God says, I see them all the time. And they don't even think about the fact that I see them at home and I see them at work and I see them when they're alone. Hey, I know what their name is. Boy, listen, I wouldn't want to get to the place where I thought it was more important to have a good name in front of you guys and my name be mud as far as the boss is concerned. You understand? Listen, other names are more well known, but Jashobeam was a name known well to the boss. Now, David made some mistakes in his life, but I want you to know, David was no dummy when it came to leading people. I mean, listen, you say, preacher, who in the world is Jashobeam? He was the man that David, he was his right-hand man, as far as I can see from this story. Though his name is only mentioned here one time, somehow or another, David knew, he knew all of his men. He knew them by name. He spent time with them. But when he surveyed his men and he saw that they had to go to battle, there was one man that he saw that he had absolute confidence in, that he had observed, that he had studied, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he could put that man to his right hand and say, you, Jashobeam, are the man that I know I can trust above every other man in this army. I'm going to tell you tonight, nobody fools God. Nobody. Nobody fools God. And can I tell you tonight, listen, hey, just go ahead and disregard the idea of trying to impress everybody else. Because if you do that, your sights are set way too low, amen? Listen, hey, don't try to impress me. Don't try to impress other people. Hey, let's as Christians, let's live with the reality that what matters is, what's God think about me? What's God's opinion of me? Listen, too many Christians have settled for wanting to have a good opinion of themselves and make a good name at their church and make a good name among their group. Hey, let's have a good name of God. Amen. That's what matters. You and I do not even know Jashobeam. But he was the chief of the captains. David knew him. And David knew he could trust him. You know what I want tonight? And I guess in a way I kind of wanted this for a long time since I was I guess the reason why when that fella said, if you want people to know you, you got to write letters. I guess the reason why I didn't run to get me a notebook and start writing letters is because I didn't care. I didn't go to Bible college so that the people there could know me. Hey, some of those people are not even in the ministry anymore. What good would it have done me to be known by them? I wasn't interested in being known by them. I want to be known of God. And I'm not boasting to you tonight. I'm just kind of opening up and telling you the truth. Hey, let's determine as Christians that we're going to be known by God, not be known by one another.
Right.
You see, if you'll just decide all that matters in life is that God knows you, your life will be far different. Because if your desire is that some person knows you, then you'll be double-minded. But if you just say, you know what, God, from this day on, all that matters is I want to have a good name in your sight. And God, I want you to know me. And God, I want you to know that I'm for real. And I want you to know that I'm honest. And I want you to know that I'm upright. And God, not that I'm telling you that I'm those things, but I want to show you. I want to prove to you, God. I want you to see that now that you saved me, and by your grace working in me, God, I know I'm no good apart from you. But God, with you helping me, and with your, because of Jesus dying for me, all that matters, God, is I want you to know me. You know, I think if we'd do that, it'd make a whole lot of difference in our Christianity, wouldn't you? You know, how can it be chief over the captains? He was David's associate. Let me tell you this real quick tonight. Greatness before God is only available to those who are willing to be unknown by men. If you want to be great before God, you can't try to be known by everybody else. Listen. Number two, the greatest servant has one goal, to exalt the head and remain anonymous, to capture no glory while serving faithfully. You know what? Listen, Jashobeam wasn't trying to make a name for himself. You know what he felt like his duty was? To make a name for David, to make David look good. You know what our duty is? To make Jesus look good.
Amen.
That's it. Hey, you know, this choir up here, they may never be known as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I hope not. Amen. I mean, they may never make a CD and have their name, Providence Baptist Choir. I mean, no, you know, you guys may meet up here on Sunday night and practice and sing your hearts out and be faithful, and the choir might grow and you sound great. People come to church and say, boy, the choir sounds good. But there may never be a recording, a producer that comes in here and say, now that's what I'm just looking for. And he may never run up here and say, Brother Chuck, my name is Fred Blassie, and I'm a promoter, and I'd like to get you guys together to come to the studio, and I'd like to get this choir to sing, and boy, I'd like to get y'all's name on a CD, and I'd like to produce it and get your name out there and let people hear this Providence Baptist Church Choir, because you guys sure do have a good sound. Boy, no, listen, all of a sudden, boy, that would sound good, wouldn't it? I mean, to think here we are, we're going to be known. And now we got a name. But I'm going to tell you what, you already are known, amen? You already got a name. You already got a name in heaven, and God knows about you. And it's more important God knows about Providence Baptist Church Choir than about anybody else knows about Providence Baptist Church Choir. And that we strive to make a name with God, not to make a name with the world. Listen, hey, when it comes to Sunday school teachers, I mean, I've heard of some great Sunday school teachers. And I've heard the names of great Sunday school teachers. And you may never write a book, amen? Boy, listen, everybody wants to write a book. Larry, you need to write a book about something. I mean, you write a book about something and just put it down on paper and get your name out there. And I've had people say that. They say, you need to put your sermons in print, get your name out there. Friend, I don't want my name out there, amen? I've seen what the world does to a person's name. Just as soon as your name gets out there, they try to trash your name. All that matters and all that ought to matter is that God knows your name. Hey, let God exalt you. Let God use you. Let God, let your goal be that you don't care if anybody ever knows your name, but you give your life to make people know Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, when the choir sings, the goal of the choir is to make Jesus' name known. Hey, when the Sunday school teacher stands up to teach Sunday school, the goal of that Sunday school teacher is that the little boys and girls go home and know the name of Jesus. Amen.
Right. Right.
They may never know their Sunday school teacher's name. I remember a fella, I was working at a horse farm, a stable, up in the Lake of the Four Seasons in Indiana. Here comes this big guy in there, rodeo. Big cowboy guy, and I talked to the lady's son there that worked there, and they all knew I was went to Bible college, I was a preacher, and he was talking to me, and he said, yeah, he said, when I was a little boy, he said, living up in Michigan, he said, I used to go to church. He said, there were some people that came by and picked me up, and I rode to church with them on a bus, and I heard about them, but he said, boy, I sure did enjoy it. He said, I sure did enjoy it. I guarantee you, if I'd asked him the bus captain's name, he wouldn't have known that. He probably didn't know any of the people, but I tell you what those people did. They got him to church, and they introduced him to the name that did count, and that was the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, the world may never know your name. I mean, you might die, and that might be the end of it. It doesn't matter. You let them know Jesus' name. I'd go down to a graveside down in Cross Lanes where my pastor growing up, where the Warren Anderson is buried. And you can go down there and you can watch it. There's his grave. He preached for many years. I've heard people tell good stories about him, bad stories about him. It don't matter what other people say. I know what I think about him. He was my preacher. He helped. That's what I think about him. Amen. I was just a little boy. And listen, when I saw him, I saw somebody that represented the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he was a good man. He seemed like he loved the Lord. And he'd come down and visit my daddy and walk around, talk to him, and try to be a friend to my dad and encourage him in the Lord. And as a little boy, I'd walk around the yard and watch him. And I saw a man that seemed like he represented the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can go down there. He pastored for several years, started several churches. Helped start the church right there, brother, by you guys and some other places, that little church there, and some different places, and preach. But you can go down there, and there's this casket laying there, and his grave laying there, and you can watch. And he's been dead now for 20-some years. And I guarantee you probably won't find any flowers there. Unless Mom, she said she put some there. Y'all recognize her right now. Everybody recognize her. That's Ruby right there. Listen. Hey, very few people even remember his name. But it don't matter. What matters is that he lived his life to make Jesus' name known. Did he live his life to be faithful and to make known the name of Jesus? Hey, there's a name that the world needs to remember, amen? There's a name that the world needs to know. And it's our duty not to have our name known, but to have the boss's name known. You see, too many preachers get caught up with wanting to have a name. And as soon as you do, God said in His Word, He's a jealous God. He had not shared His glory. Amen. And God will humble a man that gets caught up with wanting to have His name known. Right. And we need to be careful that our job is to make His name known.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
I believe God will use a person with that attitude. The elite forces are seldom known by anyone but by the boss, nor that they want to be known by anyone else. For years, you never knew who the Navy SEALs were. And Tommy never knew that there were Navy Dolphins until Chuck told him he was one. And that was his force, elitist force. Right? I'm messing with you, bud. But listen, hey, can I tell you tonight that the elite forces, that nobody knows their names. Until today, you know, today our society, we got to make a movie about them, amen? But listen, to be unknown while making Jesus known should be our aim. Nobody. I don't guess. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think any of y'all knew much about Joshua Bean. But I want to tell you tonight, David knew it. And when David surveyed his men, and David saw that there was a battle to go fight, and David saw that there was a need. There was one man that David said, I can trust him. Joab was a self-promoter. If you'll study Joab, you say, why didn't Joab have that job? Because listen, hey, David fought with Joab all the time. Joab was always trying to make a name for himself. A lot of people try to make a name for themselves. I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. To be known to God as one who is grateful. As Christians tonight, listen to me. Let me give you these things real quick. Be known to God as a Christian who's grateful. When Jesus was here and he healed those lepers, how many of them came back to say thank you? How many?
One.
You know what Jesus said? Where are the others at? I'm going to tell you tonight, gratitude matters. And we as Christians, we ought to strive to be known to God as grateful people. Every breath we breathe, you know where it comes from? From God. Every bite of food you eat or I eat, it all comes from God. If there's anything God ought to know about us, He ought to know we're grateful. You ought to be able to look at our life and say, now right there is a Christian that's grateful
for the blood that I shed on the cross of Calvary. Be known that God is one who is faithful. You know what the Bible says at the end when we go to heaven? He said, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." You know, you may not get an award for being faithful down here, but you know what? When God sees you, God is looking to see if you're faithful or not. You know, some fellow might show up at work for 50 years straight and never win a PM. It don't matter. Hey, the boss knows he's faithful. I'm going to tell you what, listen, be known to God as one who's faithful. Be known to God as one who's attentive. What does that word attentive mean? It means you're listening to God. You're paying attention. You know, if you ever teach a class, listen to me, young people. If you ever teach a class and you got a teacher that's serious about what they're teaching, you know what they expect out of their pupils? They want them to be attentive. That means they're listening. I mean, listen, they're excited. They want to learn something. Their eyes are open. And they're paying attention. When you're preaching or teaching, I want to illustrate something to you. And you see this right here? When you get ready to teach, and you see this, I don't encourage you. Or you see this? What you're looking for when you're teaching is somebody like this. I mean, you're looking for somebody that's interested. It looks like they got a brain and it's working, amen. I had this teacher in college. He said that lizard on a hot rock look. He said he'd say, get in this class, he'd say, "Y'all give me that lizard on a hot rock look." I look around and be good. I mean, you know, I learned what that was. He said he's seen people die a lot of ways. He said, but the most miserable death he's ever seen is to see somebody bored to death. And listen, I believe a teacher ought to try not to be boring, but I tell you what, we ought to be interested in what's being taught. Amen. I mean, I look around some of you young people right now. I'm not mad at you, but listen, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Head's laid over. Listen, you wonder why you get in trouble in school. You wonder why you get in trouble at church. It's because you don't like attentive. You notice the word "act." Sometimes you got to act attentive. Amen. I mean, act attentive. And you might even encourage the teacher, and he might get with it, amen? If we like the attentive. But I want to tell you what, God looks to see if we're attentive. You know, I don't want God to look at me and for God to see that I'm bored with him, amen? Amen. I got good advice for married people. When you're talking to each other, don't look bored when your spouse is talking. If you don't even know what they're saying, act like it. Yes, that's a great idea. And then try to figure out what they were saying later. Amen. Don't go. Listen. Be known to God as one who... Listen. Be known to God. This is important. Be known to God as one who meets him in the secret place. You know, there's a secret place that you and I have with God.
Amen.
And we're supposed to... Hey, I don't know where that is or what that is to you, but there ought to be a place where you and I get alone with God. And God ought to know that he's going to see us there and we're going to meet him there. I'll tell you what, listen. You don't think that's important? The Bible said there was a man named Enoch that walked with God, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him. One day God said, "Enoch," he said, "you've been meeting me here?" And he said, I created all these other people. He said, "I'm no respecter of persons." He said, "But I want to tell you," he said, "I sure do enjoy your company because you seem to enjoy mine." He said, "You don't even fit in down there." He said, "Won't you just come on home?" And Enoch said, "Well, don't I have to die, God?" God said, "Nah, forget that rule, amen. Just come on home and be with me." And he said, "I'm ready." Enoch's family said, "Where is he?" Well, he never came home. He went out to meet with God and he just never came back. Wouldn't that be good, amen? We ought to want to be known to God as people that want to meet with him, that want to get alone with him. I'm almost done. Be known to God as one who yields to his will without hesitation. You know, Moses was a good leader, but I'm going to tell you what, Moses argued with God probably more than he should have. And he didn't always, I mean, and listen, you know what? It got him in trouble.
And you know, when God recorded people in the Bible, He recorded the good and the bad. And if you'll look, it would have been a whole lot easier for Moses if he had never even had Aaron with him. But he had Aaron because he argued with God. And I'm going to tell you what, it would have been a whole lot easier if Moses would have just said, okay, God. You know, it would be a good idea if we'd be known to God as people that just say, okay, God. Okay. My dad used to say that most of the people's praying is trying to get God to change his mind about something they already know to do. You know, when God tells you to do something, you know what you ought to do? Just do it. And God will take care of it. Be known to God as one who studies His Word. You know what this is? This is the Word of God. And you know, you want God to bless you and God to hear your prayers and God to take care of you? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And listen to this, those of you that want to do something in life, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
See, preacher, I like for my life to be a prosperous life, and I like to accomplish something with my life. Be known to God as one that enjoys His Word.
Amen.
That word delight means it tastes good. Y'all ever had something that tastes good? Amen. Obviously, some of us have had too much stuff that tastes good. Or to us, too much tastes good. Amen. I mean, my weakness is no baked cookies. Brother Chuck said he thought he could survive on an island with no baked cookies. And I said I could too, but I wouldn't survive long. I'd eat myself to death. I eat one and I think I'll just have a little bit. And I don't eat the whole, I just tear off pieces of it at a time. And after a while, I've eaten a whole bucket full of them, one little piece at a time. They just taste good. You know what? We ought to acquire a taste for this book right here. When it comes down to time to where the Bible's laying there and the remote's laying here, that you pick that remote up and say, you know what? I'd just soon read the Bible. Not because you're trying to make it known when you come back to church and say, well, bless God, I read 45 chapters yesterday. If you're reading your Bible for the right reason, you won't need to let anybody know how many chapters you read. Because if you're reading your Bible for the right reason, it won't matter to you if I know how many chapters you read. And if you're praying for the right reason, it won't matter to you if I know how many nights you spent on your knees all night praying in agony to God. I'm not against you doing that, but don't do it for me. Do it for God. Amen. Don't do it to have enough. I want to be known as a prayer warrior. Be known to God as a prayer warrior. And don't worry if anybody else knows you're a prayer warrior. They'll probably figure it out. But don't make it your goal to be known. Make it your life's goal that Jesus be known. You live your life to make Him known. And someday, you'll be known. I'll tell you this story and I'm done. There was an old missionary that had served in Africa his entire life. He left America. He went to Africa. He and his wife were there. He had two children there. While he was there, he buried his wife and both of his two children. He never one time came back to America. He had written letters to different churches throughout the years, corresponded. Churches sent him support, and at times support was good, sometimes it was not, but he continued to write those letters, and hundreds of letters a month he would send out to those churches, prayer letters, letting them know what was going on. At that time there was no email or no telephone, but handwritten letters he would send out to correspond to those churches. He began to write all of them. He had been there for over 50 years. He began to write those churches, and he'd say, I feel the Lord leading us home. He said, we'll be coming home. And he put the date down. He said, we'll be coming in at New York Harbor.
He was coming in from Africa from that trip, and he wondered for a minute. He said, I wonder if anybody will be there to meet me when I get home. He had no idea that on that ship, on that boat that he was riding on, was the former president, Theodore Roosevelt. He had gone to Africa on a hunting safari. And he was coming back. He had got some big game. He was coming back. And he had a name in this world, Teddy Roosevelt. Politically, he achieved, he had a name. And that preacher didn't know him much. And he had no idea that he was aboard that ship. And that old preacher got back, and as he was wondering, as we all do at times, where flesh is weak, he was wondering, will there be anybody there? When he got close to the shore, he walked out, and he began to look, and he saw a crowd, and he was amazed. He said, you know, he said, I didn't think that really that anybody would remember me, that I didn't really think they would show up. But as he got closer, he realized that crowd wasn't gathered there to see him. They were gathered there to see that one that had a name in this world. The sign said, welcome home, President. Welcome home, Teddy. And he realized that they weren't there for him. He walked through the crowd, and there was not one person there. After all those years, there was not one person there to meet him or shake his hand or welcome him back. He went on to his little place that he had reserved for himself. And he sat down. He felt bad, really. Then the Holy Spirit of God settled in beside him and said, son, don't be discouraged. He said, listen. He said, nobody down here knows you. He said, but I want you to know you're not home yet. He said, they know you up there where it matters. He said, because you've spent your life making Jesus known. And it doesn't matter if they know you down here. What matters is, what do they know about you up there? Amen. You're not home yet. Why in the world would we give so much care to being known down here? Every once in a while, it'll enter my mind, it'll enter your mind. You know, they'll put in my Lord, and they'll put in there. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't it look something to be in the sword of the Lord and have your name in there? Boy, you'd be known as a sword preacher. I got sick, get out of my head. So I didn't discern to preach to be known as a sword preacher. I didn't get in there to discern to be a revival fires preacher. I want to make Jesus known. And who cares if anybody else ever knows my name? What care matters is, do I make his name known? That's all that matters. I already forgot that. What's his name that we was preaching about? Joshua Bean. See if y'all remember that in the morning. You may not even remember his name, but it didn't matter. Because his name wasn't to be known. His name was to make David's name known. What matters is what this boss thinks. Dear Heavenly Father, help us here tonight.